Meeting. Going to call this meeting of a three-member panel of the UIL State Executive Committee to order at this time. We do have a quorum and an agenda. We'll be abiding by the University Interscholastic League Constitution and Contest Rules. Need a motion to approve minutes from March 31st of 2025. Mr. Wade makes that motion. Dr.
Oh,
Colo, did I hear
second.
you? Okay.
Yes.
All in favor, please raise your right hand or say yes.
Yes.
Okay, and that's unanimous. We're going to move forward with our hearings today. At this time, we're going to start with hearing AA, Dallas Samuel High School, referral from District 5, 5A, Division 2 Executive Committee regarding Section 51A6 School District Personnel Violations. Danny, and I'm going to try that, Cobin. I don't know, it may be Cobin. We'll get to that in a moment. But Mr. Beasley.
DEC 55A Division 2 met on January 16, 2025 to consider violations of Section 51A6, failing to report known violations in a timely manner or withholding information by Dallas Samuel High School personnel. After finding that violations had occurred, the DEC voted to refer Coach Danny Cobbin to the state executive for consideration of penalties.
Thank you. The next step is for us to determine if all audio is working and we can identify everyone who signed in. So let's start. Coach Danny, is it Coben or Cobbin?
Coach Cobbin, Danny Cobbin.
All right. Thank you, Coach Cobbin.
Yes, sir.
And then we've got Vince Reyes.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Vince Reyes.
And your role?
I'm the assistant superintendent over athletics in Dallas ISD.
Thank you, sir. And then we have Brian Barnett.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Brian Barnett, assistant director of athletics, Dallas ISD.
Thank you, sir. MT, is it Tyeski?
Taiski, good morning. MT Taiski, Assistant Director of Athletics, 55A District Executive Committee Chair.
All right. And then Gabriel Guerra.
Good morning, Gabriel Guerra, the principal at Samuel High School.
Thank you so much. What we need to do now is make sure all of you are unmuted for a moment so that we can get you sworn in. Caroline's going to do that. Please raise your right hand.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. The members today of the committee, this panel, myself, I am Mike Motherl. I'm a retired school superintendent. We've got Dr. Koa. You want to introduce yourself?
Curtis Caldwell, retired superintendent.
And then we've got, where are you, Mr. Wade? There you are.
Darrell Wade, retired athletic administrator.
Okay, so these are the voting members. All right, let's talk about what our process is going to be today. Coach Cobbin, it's very important that you have the opportunity to hear everything that's being said. And so we're gonna start with some other folks and get around to you in a moment. We're gonna ask UIL staff initially to talk to us a little bit about how this came about, how it came to their desk and those kind of things. And then we're going to talk to Dallas ISD Athletic Department. And I will say this, just looking at what we've seen, Dallas ISD Athletic Department jumped on this thing and got after it. And that's very important that you did that. Once we're finished with DISD Athletic Department and the principal there at Samuel can be involved in that conversation too. That's when we're going to go to you, Coach Cobbin. Once we've asked you some questions, given you an opportunity to speak a little while, then we're going to go to our DEC chair at that point. And once we're finished with him, we'll go back to you, Coach. And if there's anything left to be said, that'll be your opportunity to do so. I would remind you that we have an abundance of information here, and that is greatly appreciated. The summaries that were put together, all the information, the DEC minutes and the audio and all that we got to witness and hear, extremely important. So recognize the fact that those of us who are here have gone through all that. So let's don't be repetitive of one another in unless it's pertinent in your particular situation. And, we want to take the necessary time, but we don't want to drag this thing out for hours and hours. And that's not going to happen. Let me just make that statement. Okay. With that having been said,
Mr. Chair, I hate to interrupt you, but we have a new visitor, Hector Martinez.
Thank you for that notification, Mr. Beasley. Mr. Martinez, please unmute for us. And identify yourself. Mr. Martinez, can you tell us who you are and what your role is? All right. Can anyone else tell me who Mr. Martinez is?
Yes, Mr. Martinez is the executive director for the Samuel Vertical Team. He's my boss.
He's your boss. Okay. He needs to work on getting his audio working and, there you go, Mr. Martinez.
Can you all hear me now?
Gotcha. Are you in the same room with somebody else that's on this feed?
No, I am by myself.
Okay. Just thought I heard a little echo. We need to get you sworn in, please, sir. Please raise your right hand. Caroline's going to do that.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. We're going to ask UIL staff to give us just a little bit of understanding about how this came about and your work with Dallas ISD staff, athletic staff.
Okay, I think I'm going to be tasked with doing that. Again, my name is Ray Zepeda. I'm the athletic director for the UIL. For those of you that might not know me on this call, I would say that this all started in the fall. We started to receive allegations of misconduct within the Dallas Samuel football program from an assistant coach that was working inside of the program. That looked like a series of emails that really contained quite a bit of information and quite a few allegations. It took our staff a good amount of time to go through all of the emails, to digest what was being said and alleged. And at some point after we received about the third email, I asked AJ Martinez to try to go through all three of the emails that we received and to try to summarize them for Dallas ISD, so that we could, for the purpose of sending it to the athletic department, so that they could investigate this and get back to us. The primary allegation was that Coach Cobbin, who had been hired in the spring of 2024 from Segaville High School, had directly recruited five players from his former school to attend Dallas Samuel High School. Ultimately, as the emails kind of continued, there were additional names, and I think that we got from anywhere from 10 to 13 athletes that were alleged to have been recruited to play football at Samuel from different attendance zones and districts, and that Dallas ISD's processes for verifying residents had been circumvented with several of the students living out of the Samuel zone. The assistant coach alleged that he had witnessed several coaches creating fake utility statements and fake home visit documents in order to facilitate the participation of those athletes that were living outside of the Dallas Samuel attendance zone. In addition to those allegations, there were several other additional allegations of possibly allowing a coach or people to coach that were not credentialed to coach, not approved to coach, within Dallas ISD and meeting the rules, and that possibly some of these folks or this individual had ties to a 7-on-7 participation of several of these students, and that that had facilitated their arrival at Samuel. Again, there were other allegations of illegal workouts taking place involving students enrolled at Dallas Samuel and some that had been not yet enrolled at Samuel, and that these practices were outside the allowed time for practices that the UIL has established. As mentioned, I asked Mr. Martinez, who's on this call today, to try to summarize the emails into one document that fully contained all of the allegations. And I called Dallas ISD Athletic Director Vince Reyes to inform him that we would be sending allegations to him. And we did that on October the 23rd. Their staff, under Mr. Reyes's direction, immediately launched into an investigation, a very thorough investigation at that, that looked into the residence of each of the aforementioned athletes and the other allegations of recruiting, the creation of faulty or fake home visits and utility bills, and the allegations of illegal coaching in various means and methods. A little over a week later, we received a self-report from Dallas ISD that indicated that at least three of the student athletes whose information had information on PAPFs that was not correct. And there were another two students that would have been found to have been ineligible, I think for a total of five, that were not eligible to compete for Dallas Samuel High School. As a result of the violations, Dallas Samuel and Dallas ISD made a decision to self-apply a forfeiture of all games that these ineligible students had participated in during the 24 season and continued their investigation. Ultimately, through this process, Samuel forfeited seven football games they won in an additional football game that was not played in the direct aftermath of announcing the findings of their preliminary investigation to their players and community. In addition to the incorrect information on the PAPF, Dallas ISD was also able to verify that there were discrepancies with home visit documentation that included home visits actually not being conducted when there was documentation that Coach Cobbin and staff members had performed them, and that there were several inaccuracies and discrepancies with utility bills and other forms of documentation that was used to verify residents through their internal process for verification of residents. All of this information was uncovered during Dallas ISD's very thorough investigation and was forwarded to their DEC for a meeting that was held on Thursday, January the 16th. Before I get to the outcome of that meeting, I do want to take the time to really commend Dallas ISD and their athletic department for the way that they thoroughly investigated this, were fully transparent with UIL staff, and the way that they've handled themselves as professionals. Specifically, I want to point out the two assistant athletic directors that are on this call today, M.T. Tyiski and Brian Barnett, who actually went out and on their own did home visits in a really great effort to get to the bottom of the allegations. And they really went above and beyond looking into every allegation of impropriety. And their professionalism and effort is very much appreciated. The District 5, 5A Division II Football DEC Committee met in January and ultimately took votes on recruitment, finding that they believed that they did not have a preponderance of evidence of direct recruiting, but did find Coach Cobbin to be responsible for rules violations that involved a lack of transparency due to the inaccurate PAPFs that were submitted and the falsified home visit and utility bill documents. The maximum penalty that the DEC could apply was a reprimand, and they voted 6-0 to send Coach Cobbin to the SEC for consideration of accountability because they, I believe, felt like that this that could possibly involve a little bit harsher accountability than a reprimand, and thought that this needed to be looked at a little bit more closely by the SEC. They did put the school on one-year probation for all campus programs and issued the school a public reprimand. Additionally, they found that they could not substantiate the allegation that Coach Cobbin had held illegal practices in the spring or summer and or allowed anyone to coach that was not qualified to coach by UIL rules. I think that's about as complete, just a 30,000 feet above the situation summary that I can give you. I'm sure that Mr. Tyiski and Mr. Barnett and Mr. Reyes could fill in any gaps, because I'm sure there are several there with some more specifics.
Thank you, Mr. Zapata. That's exactly what we needed to hear, just a good overall view of what had gone on, and you were very thorough as usual. What we're going to move to now is to Dallas ISD Athletic Department and even our principal from Samuel, if that's appropriate as well. And what we actually need here is, I think you can confirm the information from Mr. Zapata and the things that we've seen. You guys did a really good job of putting together notes on your investigation. And you talked about several different kids. I'm not worried about whether, probably don't even need to talk about names of kids, but certain kids and what they did. Could someone, in a nutshell, whether you run down those lists or just in your own words, tell us what you did find and the Mr. Cobbins part in this whole thing, please. So Mr. Tyeski or Mr. Barnett, Mr. Reyes, whoever it is, go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. I'll start and then I'll hand it over to Mr. Tyeski and if needed, Mr. Barnett. So when we received the allegations from the UIL, we immediately met with the campus. The principal and his administrative staff were awesome and immediately making this a priority. We were at Samuel High School for the majority of the day, looking into the home visits, looking into the bills. We explored every possible avenue to discredit the allegations first and foremost, right? We wanted to first make sure that possibly that Coach Cobbin was not involved in any of the allegations that were presented to us. Prior to that meeting, as previously mentioned, Assistant Director Barnett and Assistant Director Tyeski, along with one of the administrators from Samuel High School, made home visits. It was during those home visits that you know, we discovered that the addresses and the people that lived there did not match what was on the PAPFs. And Mr. Barnett and Mr. Tyeski can go more into that. Following that, we started to look into the bills that were provided. Along with the principal, and we looked into the bills. We tried to log into some of the bill accounts, and of course, we found that they did not exist. We called parents and/or guardians and/or grandparents from the numbers listed on the PAPFs. Through those phone calls, we were able to verify that in at least two cases that I can think of, for sure one, that the parent verified that no home visits had taken place, had never seen the coach or a home visit. It was very difficult to find all that out. We also looked up on the Dallas CAD, the appraisal district. We looked up the addresses and things like that. Names did not match what was on the PAPF. The other item that was particularly stood out was that several of the PAPFs were marked that the previous residents had been sold. And of course, looking up through the Dallas CAD and things like that, we were able to verify that in fact was not the case. And that's kind of my overview of the work. Mr. Tyeski, would you like to chime in?
Good morning, everyone. So the things that Mr. Reyes just conveyed pretty much summarize everything. One thing important to note, with the three that was substantiated with the as far as falsified documentation, it was two parents, not one. It was two parents that actually admitted that no home visit was conducted, and they don't live where they say they lived.
All right. Tell the committee what role that you found that Coach Cobbin played in all this.
Ultimately, Coach Cobbin is the head football coach at Dallas Samuel High School. So based on the DEC findings, you know, we held him accountable for being the leader of that organization. So it was never substantiated that, you know, Coach Cobbin falsified the documents or anything like that. But ultimately, him being responsible for that program was really the reason why he's being held accountable today.
Okay. All right. And it's not necessary. Anything else you need to add about the particulars we talk about? Mom said there had no bills in her name when in actually it, there had been a bill turned in that had her name on it and no coaches came by. The things that you talked about, anything else? Falsifying the residence, any other actions from coaching staff or from people who were involved in that that we need to know about before we move on?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Principal, where are you, sir? Mr. Guerra. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, sir. Just that as soon as we became aware of the allegations, we contacted Dallas ISD Athletics. They contacted us and we started working on our investigation. So no, as soon as we received everything, we did what we needed to do.
And the determination was made by the athletic department, is our understanding or my understanding, that the forfeits would take place. Is that correct? Was that by your group?
No, sir. What I did as a DEC chair, I sent out the information to the campus principals, and they all did an electronic vote to forfeit the seven contests, the seven victories.
Okay. Coach Cobbin.
Yes, sir.
Lots of problems here.
Yes, sir.
Problems here. And as has been so well stated, you are responsible for things that go on at your campus when it comes to the eligibility of students. You're the coordinator, first of all, if I'm correct. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not only are you the football coach, but you are the coordinator. So you have responsibility for every aspect of what's going on there. We've got situations where you had the false documents that's already been discussed. The visits that did not take place when they were stated to have taken place. You were directly involved in some of those. You've got a coach, Coach DeLeon, that admitted falsifying a document. And you've got four or five students, and some may say this is not pertinent this time. I think it's very pertinent that you've got kids that came from Seagoville where you were, who all of a sudden you got four or five of those kids who showed up at your campus. And they were some of the kids who the issues were on their residency and some of those kinds of things. So I want you to know that from my viewpoint at this time, and I'm speaking just for me, we're looking at a situation where it is a good thing that you are here today, because I think you've earned the opportunity to come here and to try to defend yourself from all these accusations that are so many of them founded. It is time for you to answer some of these questions. Let's start with Coach DeLeon admitting falsifying a document, signing off on a home visit that didn't take place. I believe was the one in his situation. Was that at your direction?
Yes, sir. So
to falsify a document.
So we just didn't have a second person to go with me to go. So yes, sir.
So you asked him to falsify a document?
No, sir. I didn't know that it was required to have an extra personnel with me. And so that was on my part right there. I went to the house, and then when I came back, because I was in a rush, and so I asked Coach De Leon to go ahead and sign off on the document because I already did the home visit. And
You're
so,
saying it one way, I'm saying it another. But my point is, you asked him to falsify a document.
yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Now, let's talk about all these kiddos who whose residences were not accurate, and they were all kids coming to your campus. How'd that all happen, Coach?
So originally when I had kids coming in, I reached out to the admin and they directed me to do the home visit. And so it was only to do it on two kids, and that was once they came in, because I felt like, why are they coming from Siegelville to over here? So I wanted to make sure that on my part I was clear and I wasn't hiding anything. So I reached out to my admin and they told me to conduct a home visit. And so that's where the home visits came from. I know that one kid, in instance, he was living with his grandma for 3 years or whatever, but mom was kind of unstable. And so when I got the job, I did reach out to the prior coach at the time, and then I let him know that, hey, this kid is coming. And so I just wanted to make sure that I was always in the clear and it wasn't any shaky business. I didn't want to be in this type of situation right here. So for all the cases, I did reach out to the prior school to make sure that, it wasn't anything shaky.
Was one of the other coaches from Seagoville as well that came to Samuel?
Yes, sir.
What was his name?
I had two coaches, Stephen McGill and Kimion Harris.
Let's talk about the Give me just a moment, please. Let's talk about the, I think he's Coach Cook or Mr.
Yes,
Cook.
sir. Yes, sir.
What's his first name?
Derek.
Derek. What role did he play for you?
He wasn't a coach. He was just a guy that was a Samuel alum. And so he just helped out in the community. He helped out kids. They played for him at certain 7-on-7 levels, but it was our kids. It wasn't any outside kids, anything. And so what it did was our kids just in the summertime, they would go out and compete against other teams, not under Samuel Athletics, not under Samuel ISD, though, Dallas ISD.
Did any of the kids that came to you from Seagoville participate in those?
No, sir.
You know that 100% sure.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Wade or for Dr. Colwell at this time?
Yeah, Coach, good morning. So you say none of the kids in Singleville played for Mr. Cook?
No, sir. One of the kids was a lineman, and then the other one was a running back, and then the other one was a tight end, but nobody played 7-on-7 for Coach Cook. He had his own outside organization.
Okay, if I'm not mistaken, during the recording, I heard that he also helped coach there at Samuel. Is that correct?
He wasn't directly. We always had two coaches in the secondary, so he was there. He would come sparingly and then come out and assist, maybe do set up for drills for the coach. It was Coach Dansby and Coach Webb was our DB coaches.
Okay. To
But never hands on to kids though.
your knowledge, is that something that's approved to do in Dallas ISD? To have
No, sir. We don't approve volunteer coaches. And so that's why, he was never hands-on or left along with any other kids. It was always with extra coaches that were certified.
Okay, that's it.
I want to ask one of the assistant athletic directors if you verified any of the status of Coach Cook as far as hands-on with kiddos. Mr. Taiski or Mr. Barnett, did y'all verify any of that?
Yeah, so go ahead, Coach.
Go ahead, MT.
So we did have conversations with the coaching staff and things of that nature. Mr. Cook, as far as hands-on, we never visibly seen him being hands-on with the kids, but he will be at every game. So as far as hands-on coaching, we're not for sure on our end. Mr. Barnett, have you seen anything differently?
No, sir, same thing. I don't think we can confirm that he was actively coaching during practice, but he was seen at games on the sidelines.
Mr. Motherall, if I can interject at this point, I know that in the original emails that we received was from Coach Dansby, the other secondary coach.
Yeah.
At the heart of that, his allegations of Coach Cook coaching was, we believe, was him being upset that he was not being allowed to fully coach these kids in practices and games because Coach Cook had been empowered to coach instead of him. And so I do think one of the things that made this very difficult is that Coach Dansby failed to participate in the DEC meeting later, but I know that that was at the heart and root of the original emails that myself and Mr. Martinez had received.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. All right. What else for Coach Cobbin at this point?
And Coach Cobbin, I'm sorry, what's wrong? This is Darryl. You do admit that Mr. Cook was assisting in a coaching capacity. Is that correct?
So he would never give directives to kids. As far as on the field and setting up things, yes, sir.
Explain that. I mean, so he was just out there. He didn't do any coaching of anything at all. He just set the field up, you're saying?
So Coach Cook is a district employee, and so he wouldn't come to practice. It would just be Coach Webb and Coach Dansby. But Coach Cook is a Samuel alum. So the argument was Dansby wasn't really all into it because I changed his position from running back to DB, and he was lacking that position. And so I was a DB coach as well. So that's why I made the move. So I think that's where the argument became, where Cook was saying Dansby's not putting all into the program. So as far as Coach Cook's role, he did stats for me. He made sure that alignment was checked. He would talk to Coach Webb from upstairs and things like that, just to make sure that those kids were lining up correctly. But he never coached a kid hands-on, as far as drills or anything.
Did he wear a Samuel coaching shirt?
Yes, sir.
And did you just call him Coach Cook?
Several times.
Yeah, you did. Okay.
What is Coach Cook's job with DISD?
He's a custodian.
At Samuel?
No, sir. I'm not sure the school is a Dallas ISD school.
And did Coach Cook have a headset on during the games?
Sometimes he did, yes, sir. Not all games. But again, that was for relaying the alignment to Coach Webb from the box so we can get things fixed.
Yeah, and that's not coaching?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything else, Dr. Colwell?
No, sir.
All righty. Coach, we're going to come back to you here in a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Tyeski, I'm sorry, I'm butchering your name.
Tyeski. Yes, sir. I'm here.
You, the district chair, you've already given us a little bit of an analysis of what went on. Really appreciate the summary of the DEC hearing. I don't know whether you're the one that put that together or not, but it was well done.
Thank you.
The result you talked about of there were five students ineligible, and then there are three kids that had transferred out. And then I think there was one kid who played sub varsity, so was out for a calendar year. The confirmation you talked about that the student athletes did not reside at addresses listed on the PAPFs. And I want to stop right there because it is amazing to me, Coach Cobbin, that here we are looking at your campus and you're in charge, and we've got all these documents that are falsified. Okay. That's really disheartening to see a situation where so many addresses were wrong and things checked on the fact on the PAPF that the house had been sold when it had not been sold, all coming through you. So let's remember that. And then you went on to with three other students that were eligible, the DEC did, based on evidence that there's not any preponderance to say that recruiting occurred. I have a I understand the decision that you guys reached. I really do. But from my viewpoint, looking at all that's gone on, four or five kids coming from the previous district where the coach and two other coaches were, and then all the falsified documents that went on, I have a hard time thinking that there was not any recruiting that took place. Definitely issues with the documentation. And then we go to that decision about recruiting that said that there were things that was falsified home visitation forms, unverifiable utility bills, PAPF submitted with inaccurate information, multiple PAPFs checked on page two, status of previous residences. So the things I just talked about. And I thought there was a real understatement here because Danny Cobbin, a lack of transparency was substantiated. I think it's a very gracious description of what took place under Coach Cobbin, but it fits. I get what you did there. And then you sustained the lack of transparency I struggled with that term. Could you define that for us, Mr. Taieski? Lack of transparency.
As far as Mr. Cobbin, the campus,
Yes, sir.
so the DEC determined that it was a lack of transparency because of the falsified documents. So the principals felt that things was being hidden as far as trying to circumvent processes as far as getting the student athletes eligible. So
Okay.
that was meant by the lack of transparency.
Thank you for being succinct with that.
Yes,
That's
sir.
appreciated.
Yes, sir.
And then the punishment, obviously, the disqualification from the forfeiture of the game, disqualification from any 24 football season honors, public reprimand, 1 year probation. And that's as far as y'all could go. And we recognize that in that circumstance. You did not feel like that he violated any summer and spring practice rules. You stand by that at this time?
Yes, sir, I do. It wasn't substantiated, all the information that that the DEC had, as well as conversations with SAMU administration. We couldn't determine that SAMU High School actually practiced outside of spring ball or the UIL regulations or guidelines.
Okay. Mr. Guerra, Coach Cobbin's status there, for a while he was suspended, and then I think HR got involved and there were some things that went on and all, and his status right now?
He was on academic, or pardon me, administrative leave. And then, as it was explained to me at the end of the investigation, he was returned to campus and he is still here currently on campus.
Okay. Is he fulfilling his responsibilities this time still?
On campus, yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Mather, I have a question.
Please, Mr. Wade.
During the hearing, I remember that the question was asked about the documentation of when a kid comes to Samuel, and I believe Coach Cobbin made the comment that that was not his responsibility. It was his responsibility to build a program. I'd just like to ask anybody from Dallas ISD, is that correct, or should he have some involvement further than just in the building the program when a kid's coming in? And is that a policy that is strictly the registrar and not the coaches, I guess is my question.
No, sir, it is absolutely the responsibility of the athletic coordinator and the head coach of any sport to verify eligibility for all student athletes that enter their program.
Thank you. And one last question, Mr. Motherall. Mr. Cook, Coach 707, is that correct, Coach Cobbin?
Yes, sir. He coached 707. Yes, sir.
Were there any kids from Samuel on that team?
Yes, sir. That's where he built the program. So it would be an outside of organization, but the kids were in the summertime would go and play with Coach Cook.
Okay. Did that ever cross your mind that with him coaching on campus, as you've called him coach, coaching that summer team, did you realize that that was a violation or not?
Well, no, sir.
You did not realize. So are you thinking that you could then coach the summer team as well since you're a coach on campus?
No, sir. I knew I couldn't, but being that he wasn't a coach, and that's why he came and we call him coach because of his outside organization. It's nothing dealing with Samuel High School, but being that he does have an outside organization, then those kids, he would reach out to the parents and ask, can they come and play for him? So that was the discrepancy right there.
Okay. Mr. Caldwell, a few minutes ago, asked you, was his duties of what he was doing a coach? And you answered yes. So we got to stick with one. He was a coach or he wasn't a coach.
Well, he never was a coach. Like, I'm sorry. So just a clarification. He's not a full-time coach for Samuel High School. He's a coach outside organizational coach. So like I said, he will come, he will volunteer. He was not a volunteer coach in Dallas ISD either, but he will come and put cones down, just to help out Coach Webb and Coach Dansby from time to time. He didn't show up to practice all the time. It'll be maybe once or twice out of the week he would show up for practice.
So, Coach, you're now saying he was not a coach? Because you said today and even during the hearing that he was a volunteer coach, which I think it was Mr. Taieski that thankfully spoke up, because a lot of times our principals don't know and state that there is no such thing as a volunteer coach.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir. That's why I corrected myself.
But you did say today that he was a coach. If he was helping with the lineman, he's coaching. If he's helping with a lineman as a coach, he can't coach a summer team. Are you accepting that? Or are you still thinking that he was eligible to coach your summer team?
He wasn't eligible to coach at Samuel High School.
Thank you, Mr. Motherall.
Yes, sir. And just a little further discussion from earlier too, about the fact that he was wearing headset on Friday nights in the press box. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Zepeda, I think you wanted to say something a little bit earlier.
I think that Mr. Wade completed that thought.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right. Dr. Colwell, you have any other questions?
No, not really. I just find it hard to believe that Coach Dansby and the other coach couldn't set up cones and had to have somebody come out and set up cones for him. But I just find that pretty difficult.
Okay, thank you, Coach Cobbin. Any last words you want to provide us today?
I just want to say, you know, this is my 18th year. I've never done anything that try to shortchange, or everything I've done, you know, been through hard work. When I came into this program, I knew it was a falling program. You know, it was a program that has been at the bottom, and it was my job to, you know, is try to build it up. And that's what I've been doing through community efforts, parent meetings and so on. And if I have missed anything, you know, that's, you know, that has been, you know, out of the protocol of UIL and the Dallas ISD procedures, you know, I've already tried to work towards fixing those problems. I have already sat down with my principal and put together a PAPF protocol of entering inside of the school and things of that nature. And so I just wanted to let you all know that is, you know, I'm a man of character. I've never had any trouble with UIL or anything. And so I look forward to just staying in this profession and building.
Thank you. Okay. Anything from any other participants in this hearing this time? Anybody? All right. Our responsibility today, this was referred to us from this DEC to determine any further consequences that need to go to Coach Cobbin, and to not only look at the failing to report known violations, which is where their consequences came from, but to also look at recruiting. And that's where we are at this time. Mr. Wade, do you have anything you want to say at this point?
Yeah, thoughts though.
Say that again, please.
Not at this point. I am trying to, you know, kind of gather some thoughts on that for sure.
Let me make a comment or two, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Colwell to do the same thing. I find the issues here to be very severe. Again, thanks to Dallas ISD Athletics for being thorough. Appreciate the DEC in requiring the forfeits, because you had kids at Samuel High School that were ineligible because of residency mainly. I find it hard to believe that there was not recruiting going on here with that number of kids coming from the previous school at which he coached and two of his other coaches coached. I find the fact that he had an employee of the district who did not even work at Samuel High School, his job, out at practice 1 to 2 days a week and up in the press box on headphones. And I find it hard to believe that you would not call him a coach. So there's a lot of violations here. Coach Cobbin is going to receive, if I have anything to do with it today, he's going to receive from some further consequences from this group. Dr. Cole, you have anything to add?
Yes, sir, I do. I'm in complete concurrence with what you just said. I think the preponderance of evidence surely and clearly indicates that there was probably recruiting, but just the efforts to cover up some of the things that were going on and to falsify documents, and I just the whole circumstances that are involved, they cry out for some more sanctions and actions against Coach Colvin, in my view.
All right. Yes, Mr. Wade.
Course, agree with both of you all wholeheartedly. It's you're not to assume, but there's just so much evidence that looks at recruiting, violating UIL rules with coaching staff. I mean, there's a lot of things on there to which I would agree with Mr. Motherall. I guess was the one that brought up some other sanctions for sure. I mean, I've been on this committee for 15 years. And we've had some tough cases, but this one is just I don't know the word I can use, it's just ugly.
Thank you, sir. I'm gonna talk about a couple of things here. Staff, athletic staff, UIL staff, excuse me. Any comments that need to be made from you at this point?
No, other than it's obvious that there are several violations, as have been mentioned. I mean, the information on the PAPF's inaccurate. You know, no, whether we have they've been able to get to the bottom of the root of those inaccuracies or not, I can't. I know that, but there's misinformation on the PAPF's. There are home visits that were said to have been conducted that were not conducted. Incoming school districts are required to verify residency. That was not done. The violation that Mr. Wade pointed out, where you have a coach that is coaching kids in non-school participation activities that then has a quasi-coaching role during the school year. There's several significant violations here. And so I think it, you know, you could easily assume that there was some type of recruiting, definitely a not following of procedures and the outright breaking of rules.
All right. I'm going to begin the discussion of the specific nature of any additional consequences. And the public reprimand, without a doubt, there's got to be a time of suspension for Coach Cobbin, without a doubt. For me, a minimum would be 1 year. It could go up to 3 years. But that's a debatable issue. And then, of course, probationary period, whenever he does come back, if we do move forward with a suspension, that probation needs to be for a full three-year period. That's our max. So comments from Mr. Wade or Dr. Caldwell on the length of a suspension from coaching, basically, is what I'm talking about here.
Yes, I would agree with you on that, at least 1 year and the probation for sure, that we can come up with a time of both. But I would like to ask Mr. Guerra just a quick question. You kind of mentioned he is on campus. What is he still coaching, football on campus, or is he just there in the building as a coordinator, perhaps?
From what I'm aware, he is here in the building as a coordinator.
He's not coaching athletic period?
Not that I'm aware of. He is here in his athletic coordinator responsibilities, and that's all I'm aware of at this time.
Can we get a further answer from the athletic directors on his role right now as in athletics? Please.
Yes, sir. He is on campus as athletic coordinator and fulfilling some football responsibilities as well, such as off-season football.
So nothing has changed for him?
Not at this point, no, sir.
Okay, thank you. Good question, Mr. Wade. Dr. Colwell, your point?
No, I think that, but first of all, I'll go back to what Mr. Wade said about how many of these we've handled over the years, and this is pretty egregious. And I think that a minimum of what you said of 1 year suspension from all athletic duties is appropriate to 3 year probation, and I'd be amenable to 2 years, but I'll 1 year if that is your preference. I'm fine with 1 year, but 3 year probation.
I have no real preference. I just wanted to say that's got to be a minimum. When you take and compare this to some of the other things that we've done up to 3 years in situations that not exactly similar, but the same intent. Let's put it that way.
Mr. Chair.
Dr. Harrison, yeah.
As you pointed out, I'm just reiterating and supporting what you said. When you factor in precedents for other cases like this, I just think that's an important thing for the committee to consider. There's a number of violations here, right? I mean, the guy's a coach. He's not a coach, but he's at the games. He's wearing a coaching shirt. He's wearing a headset, but he's not a coach. We've had that before too. When you have residency documents, allegedly a residency check that was legitimate and then made illegitimate by asking someone else who wasn't with him to sign off on it. But let's remember the end result was that was not a legitimate residency. Kid didn't live there. And you start with a number of kids new to the program, five of whom came from his previous school. There's just a lot there that does start to make this case look a lot like some others that we've had. And all of those have included multiple year suspensions.
Thanks, sir. I'm leaning toward 2 years at this point. Matter of fact, I'm going to make that motion. I want to make a motion that Coach Cobbin receive a public reprimand, 2 year suspension from coaching, UIL activities of any sort, and a 3 year probation upon the time that at the point in time in which he is reinstated. The last thing I will say is if he decides to come back, he has to come before this committee to let us know that he is ready to actually do things correctly. That's my motion.
And I'll second that. Yeah.
Okay, we got 2 seconds, but we'll take Dr. Colwell's. All in favor, please raise your right hand. It's unanimous. We're going to move forward then to hearing BB. And hearing BB is Dallas Samuel High School consideration of penalties for violations of Section 52B school violations. Mr. Beasley. Mr. Beasley has left us. Let me just read through this. State Executive Committee may issue the following UIL school violations of Section 52B, failing to comply with UIL Constitution contest rules when not in conflict with the State Board of Education rule or regulations. And what this is, to take a look at the high school itself, the athletic portion of the high school itself, to determine if there's any consequences that need to be stated for these folks and put into place for these folks. Typically in a circumstance like this, we give a public reprimand and a time of probation. And that's just to make sure that you recognize that you're on, people are watching to see what's going on. I'm going to suggest, and I would like to hear what Mr. Wade and Dr. Cole have to say about this, that I'm going to suggest we do a public reprimand in 2 years of probation and a report from the campus to Dallas ISD Athletic Department that gets forwarded to UIL to let us know how you're going to make sure these violations don't occur again. That's my point on it, Dr. Colwell.
No, I think 2 years probation, public reprimand, and the report are entirely appropriate.
Mr. Wade?
If we vote, I would like to make a comment or maybe ask a question. I could probably ask it now if it's okay. I know we...
Yeah, I have not made a motion. I just...
Okay, great. I guess my... first of all, Dallas ISD, and I'm talking the school all the way up to the athletic department, I think you did a great job trying to get a handle of this, for sure. During the recording of the hearing, I heard people continually saying, you know, more training needed to be done. I don't agree. I think you guys have tried to train as best you can. So, glad, thankfully, they did stop you from having to do more work, because I feel like you did your diligence in trying to make sure. And I know it's hard with a large school district, but I think you did a good job of trying to get that done. Unfortunately, you know, we run into those situations where everybody, you know, doesn't abide by the training. And so I think for sure the people that attended your training should have known what to do and not, not knowing what they should do. I know that there's another employee that, I guess, falsified the document. Is that person still in the athletic department? What's the status there was my question.
Got a question for the athletic department, Mr. Reyes?
The principal, I'm not sure.
Or the principal.
Yes, sir. She is still currently there at Samuel, unless things have changed, Principal Guerra.
No, she's still here.
Are there any? Well, I'll leave that alone. I'm good.
I would
like to follow through on your motion that you made. At this time, I would agree that we use the motion that Mr. Motherall made before my comments. I'd like to make that as a motion.
All right, that motion would be then a public reprimand, 2 years probation for the campus. And then was that it, or did we go?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Second.
All right, we got a motion from Mr. Wade, second from Dr. Colwell. All in favor, please raise your right hand. That's unanimous. All right, Coach Cobbin, you got some work in the next couple of years to get yourself ready to do things correctly. And what our hope is that at some point in the future, in a couple of years, you come back to us and you're ready to assist kids and do things correctly. I want to say again, thanks to Dallas ISD Athletic Department and to the principal, Mr. Guerra. We want to say thanks to our UIL staff for all the information and all the guidance provided. And at this time, we're going to remove all of you who have joined us for this hearing, and we're going to continue.
Mr. Chair, I just want to echo everyone's thoughts. There's been plenty of praise about the approach from the school district. Just want to add my thank you to all of you for all of your work on this. And I don't want to speak out of turn, but Mr. Reyes, are there congratulations in order?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I'm officially Big Daddy Grandpa.
first grandbaby was just born, a couple of days ago. So congratulations. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
That's a lot of fun right there. All right, we're going to remove y'all at this point in time. Thank you. Any new business, any announcements from staff?
No, sir. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you, Dr. Colwell and Mr. Wade. Appreciate you guys Good job today.
Thank you, guys.
We are adjourned.